Dear congregation, if you please have your Bibles open, bear with me, Jeremiah chapter 11, and dear brother read from Jeremiah chapter 11 right through to chapter 12 and the verse 6. Now my text this evening is taken from Jeremiah chapter 12 and the verse 5. Words of our Lord to Jeremiah. The Lord says to Jeremiah, if thou hast run with the footmen, they have wearied thee. How canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustedest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? That's our text for this evening. Pray that the Lord will bless it to us in this place. And by way of introduction this evening, we want to not only speak with regards to this text, but I want to set forth before you the problem in the first place, and then secondly, the prayer of Jeremiah. And we'll be very brief with those two points. And the bulk of our time will be spent on the third, which is the Lord's reply to Jeremiah, which we find in these words here. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? And I want to bring, I trust, three lessons with regards to what God is able to teach us, what we're able to glean from the words of the Lord there to the prophet Jeremiah. Well, people, as we begin to look at the problem in the first place. The scene that is before us, the setting that is before us, is such that the nation has been divided. We all know the historical context here. The nation has been divided. Israel in the north has fallen headlong into apostasy and idolatry, and Judah is quickly here following suit. Jeremiah is called as a youthful prophet from the town of Anathoth. Now Anathoth was just a few miles outside of Jerusalem, where the priests lived and would travel to Jerusalem to work in the temple. But the problem is here, as the nation has fallen headlong into sin and idolatry, Jeremiah, seeking to be faithful to God's calling as a prophet, warning them of the impending judgment coming, if they will not turn, God will destroy them, soon bring evil upon them. Look at verse 11 of chapter 11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. That's the judgment that God will soon bring to pass. Yet Jeremiah is to go out and to preach. The people turn away from this idolatrous way. But God also highlights another problem. If you look at chapter 11, verse 21, God tells Jeremiah that he himself, as the messenger of God, will be rejected and despised. Look at verse 21 with me. Therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in thy name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. In other words, not only are they going to reject Jeremiah's message, but the very people of the hometown of Anathoth of Jeremiah saying, Jeremiah, keep silence or die. In other words, Jeremiah, shut up or die. That's the message they're giving. Prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. Keep silence, Jeremiah, or be prepared to die. Well, that's their message. So what can we say? Well, Jeremiah's faithful preaching, compelling the people to repent, just really enraged them all the more. especially those of the hometown of Anathoth. You see, because many of the priests, we read there in chapter 11, had gone into Baal worship. And they were making a lot of money from Baal worship, this heathen worship. A lot of money. It was expedient for them to hold on to that false worship. They were not doing it for fun. They were doing it for money. Most of those priests, where the Levites lived, they would travel, though they claimed to worship the true and the living God. They worshipped the God of their belly. Self. These men loathed Jeremiah because, you see, if Jeremiah was to preach this message, they would have nothing. The end of it all. Now, it's very obvious from the text, if you look at chapter 11, verse 19, that Jeremiah wasn't quite aware of this, just how vehemently and intently they hated him up until this point. Look at Jeremiah 11:19. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not. He says, I didn't know that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree of the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. Jeremiah says, I didn't know this. I didn't know it was so intense. But you know, Jeremiah was not the first prophet to be hated. And in fact, there was a prophet, and we read of him in Jeremiah chapter 26. You may want to read there in your own time. But there is a prophet there by the name of Uriah. And he escaped to Egypt. And wicked king Jehoiakim sent for all of his mighty men and the princes to go and find this man who had run to Egypt. And they brought him back. And verse 23 of chapter 26 says, and they fetched forth Uriah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. So you could see it was quite a dangerous business in being a faithful prophet. The message that God had given. So Jeremiah, we have to understand, is in a very dangerous place. But here is the man of God. Jeremiah takes all of his trouble to the Lord. And dear friends, brethren, this is what we must do. When trouble comes, what do? We don't run away. We take it to the Lord in prayer. You see in chapter 12, verse 1, Jeremiah's prayer, the second place here. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are they all happy that deal very treacherously? See, he's got these questions. Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth, and far from their reins, their hearts. How is it, Lord? How is it? And then you see verse 3, but thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried me and mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter. And so on. So we read there. So what we find here in these pleas before the Lord are quotations from the Psalms, from the book of Ezra, and from Job. But I want us to note, we're not going to look at the prayer of Jeremiah. I simply want us to note the humility and the honesty of Jeremiah in prayer. He says it like it is. He's not disrespectful to the Lord. He says, Lord, I see this great injustice. It doesn't make sense to me, Lord. How is it? And how is it they can be content to live with a treacherous conscience? Treachery toward other men. How is that, Lord? I don't understand. He simply lays it before the Lord. And he tells God what is vexing him. Verse 1 through 4 there. Now, this is where I want to spend the bulk of our time this evening. I want us to consider in the third place the Lord's reply. And we see it here in verse 5 through 6. And I think there are three lessons we can learn with regards to the Lord's reply to Jeremiah. What I want you to notice is that the Lord employs two metaphors. Now, we all, I trust, know what a metaphor is. He uses analogy here. He uses the analogy of horses and the wilderness to speak to Jeremiah. Because he's vexed, because he's troubled, because he doesn't know what to do. And at first it might seem that the Lord is being rather harsh with Jeremiah. But I would suggest to you that is not the case at all. So God employs here two metaphors. Let's look at them. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? Well, that's the first metaphor. God says, Jeremiah, you're a man, and you've been contending with footmen, with men on their feet. Now, the analogy might be men running in a race, or perhaps men in battle. You've been battling men who don't have a horse, they're just on their feet, and you've been contending with them. But, Jeremiah, it's going to get far worse, Jeremiah. Things are going to get harder. Jeremiah, you will be contending with mighty horses. How's it going to be, Jeremiah? You might say, oh, is that a way to encourage a man of God in the thicket of the battle? Is that a way to encourage a Christian when everything is around him, vexing him sore, troubling him? Would we ever question the wisdom of God? Well, let's turn to the second metaphor. God says, and if in the land of peace, Jeremiah, you're living in the land of relative peace right now, wherein thou trustedest. You've been trusting me, Jeremiah, in a land of peace. They wearied thee. Then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? Now, some translations have it, the wilderness. That's what is meant here. The wilderness, the thickets of the Jordan. I think it's right to use this word, swelling of the Jordan. We understand this is the great expanse of the Jordan. Along where the Jordan is, along that way were great places of wilderness that were notorious for lions. And you didn't come out alive if you walked through those regions. Let me give you a couple of cross references. Jeremiah 49 verse 19. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of the Jordan. Again in Zechariah 11:3. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. So I hope you see there from Scripture, we understand that the Jordan was infested with wild animals, lions, jackals. It was a dangerous place. You certainly wouldn't want to be traveling there alone. A very foreboding place. Jeremiah, the Lord is saying, Jeremiah, the environment, if you think this is vicious, if you think that this is too much, Jeremiah, your environment is going to get far worse. You're going to be in a much more hostile place than you are now. You're going to be in the swelling of the Jordan, so to speak. Jeremiah, if you think things are awful now, they're going to get far worse. What are you going to be like when they get far worse? And we might question God's reply to him and say, well, is that the way to encourage a man who is low and down? Well, some might not think it's the best way to encourage Jeremiah. But I trust that we'll see three things. We'll learn three things here about God's dealings with not only Jeremiah, but with us as his people We're in the midst of a battle, of a dark world, and where the evil one is wielding his sword, walking round as a roaring lion, seeking to devour whom he will, in the words of the Apostle Peter. Notice firstly the love and honesty of God toward Jeremiah. God is just being honest with Jeremiah. He loves him. And we can say this first, the very nature of God is such that he can only tell us the truth. And don't we thank God for that? Don't we thank God that every word that proceeds from his mouth is true? There's no lying. God is not patting Jeremiah on the head and saying, "It's okay, old boy, everything's going to be alright," when it's not. God is true. He says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, Jeremiah, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses?" So these words are not only loving, but they come forth as a warning to Jeremiah that things are indeed going to get far worse. Jeremiah, if you think that not just your own people in Anathoth are going to trouble you, it's going to get far worse. Your whole family, Jeremiah. Look at verse 6. "For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee." Can you imagine it? Jeremiah's own mother, his own father, his brother, his sister. They're embarrassed about his preaching. They're ashamed that he stands for the truth. And they want him put to death. You see, God tells him this at the end. Even your own family, Jeremiah. They despise you. They want you put out, snuffed out, Jeremiah. And so we know Jeremiah will be beaten. He'll be put in the stocks. He'll escape after having been thrown in a dungeon, narrowly, death. And what will happen? The people themselves will fall into deeper and deeper idolatry, deeper licentiousness. The Babylonian armies will come and invade. Not only that, the women will be raped, homes burned, massacred, and the survivors will be taken into captivity. And it happened. Jeremiah, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? Brothers and sisters, let us just say God is being kind and loving, as he tells us like it is. The world is not getting any better. Paul tells us in his letter to Timothy that men will become lovers of self, lovers of money, covetous, blasphemers, idolaters, and so on. The world is not getting better. And our Heavenly Father never hides the truth from us. Never does. He doesn't say, "Cheer up, Jeremiah, everything's going to be okay." I was thinking about the words of the Apostle Paul. Remember, he was stoned in a terrible way at Lystra. Do you remember that? And they returned. Let me just read Acts 14:19. "And they came, thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. As the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when he had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That's amazing, isn't it? Paul, having been stoned, returns. He says, look, this is how it is. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of heaven. What did the Lord Jesus say? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, Paul says, shall suffer persecution. And friends, this is only but a loving and honest reply from the mouth of God. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? It's going to get worse. That's the picture here. Paul says this, I've already quoted there from 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And we see it all around us. I mean, it's trendy to be homosexual today. And you are looked as the bad guy when you speak out against such evil. It's trendy to stand out in society today as, I don't know, a man who possesses everything, and the more I can get and fill my belly, the more greedy you are, evil abounds. Jesus said, didn't he, in Matthew 24, and because iniquity shall abound. And he was speaking there in the last days. We're in the last days. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of the many. He's speaking there of those who profess faith in Christ. The love of the many will wax cold. Even amongst professing Christians, there will be a growing disposition of love for self and love for the world. The love of many shall wax cold. And the love for pure doctrine and godliness will become something that is despised in the church. Friends, without warning, it's not just about the world, but our personal circumstances. We have fightings from within, our own sin. There are fightings from without. A world that does not love God, that lieth in sin. As John says, but our own hearts so often can be the enemy. And because iniquity abounds, you see, and we are in this world, and to live in this world is difficult. Sin abounds all around us. It's like a thick, black, dense fog. Sin. You turn on the television. Sin is there. Switch on the radio. Open up the newspaper. Get on the bus. Listen to the conversations. So on, so on. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of the many professing Christians, will wax cold. There were those in Jeremiah's day that professed to be God's people, but their love for God waxed cold. And it all proved that they were not the people of God. And the ministry of Jeremiah was difficult. He was contending with men on foot, but it was going to get worse. And this is what God is saying, and it's true for all of us, friends. As the world gets more and more sinful, the battle is on. But let us thank God He loves us enough to tell us the truth. Don't you thank God for that? But what about those of you who are lost and don't know the Lord Jesus? You're still in your sins. I mean, you get uncomfortable when we talk about sin. You're troubled now. Well, what's it going to be like when you meet God and you stand before the one who is holy? There's a purer eyes than to behold iniquity. How are you going to feel then in the swelling of the Jordan? How is it going to be? Well, the second thing I want you to see. Not only is God being honest, loving by warning, but there is the strengthening of God toward Jeremiah. And what you will see, if you look at verse 5, you will see that there is a promise couched in the words of God. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? The amazing thing is, this is precisely what is going to happen. Jeremiah is going to contend with horses. He has got bigger and greater battles to face. That is the promise. Yes, he's been running against the footmen. But blessed be God, he is going to contend with horses. Jeremiah, you will outrun the horses. You know, when we read of Jeremiah in the scriptures, here is a colossus of a man who stands out in history. And he contended with the horses for over 40 years in his ministry. Jeremiah was faithful. He was going to compete with the horses. He is going to face the lions in the swelling of the Jordan. And that's an encouragement. The Lord says, this is what will happen. I foreordained the future. And Jeremiah, though you find it difficult now, question yourself. Jeremiah, how are you going to do it in that day? How are you going to contend with the horses? How are you going to walk amidst the thickets, the swelling of the Jordan? It's going to happen. It will happen. I planned it, says God. God is doing is he's lifting Jeremiah's up to that horizon that he's soon going to have to face and to challenge. And God is saying to him, I'm expecting more of you, Jeremiah. As the future unfolds, Jeremiah, there is a greater trial coming. And you are the man that I've called, Jeremiah. I haven't called anybody else, but you're the man. See what God is doing? He's not meaning for Jeremiah to despair. But he's meaning here for Jeremiah to rise and to count it an honor that he should be called by God. To contend with the horses and to walk amidst the land infested with dangerous wild animals of men. Oh Lord, can I really do this? Oh yes, Jeremiah, this is what I have planned for you. This is your future, Jeremiah. And friends, let me say this. The Lord chose Jeremiah not because he saw something in Jeremiah. And the Lord calls his people not because he sees something in us, but because he is able to do far exceedingly more than we can think. I can do all things through Christ, Paul said, that strengthens me. It's him working out his purposes. And perhaps some of us, as we think Jeremiah may be growing here weary with the footman. Maybe there is somebody here that ministers the word of God. Maybe just as a Christian, you become weary not only with your own soul, but Christianity. We say, where is it going? Where is church worship going? There's so much carnal church worship. There's so much liberalism. There's so much easy believism. There's Arminian theology beginning to creep into our Reformed churches. How can it be that men hold to those doctrines of grace invite in the churches? Men who preach Armenian theology, where man saves and not God. Because that's what Armenian theology teaches. It's based on man's decision. New covenant theology. The new perspective on Paul. We're growing weary with these battles. Friends, it's not getting better. Is it? And I don't mean to say that things, the church of God will not prevail. It will prevail. There are battles to fight, and we must fight them. But we have to be honest about the situation. But God says, look, I have, and he says here to Jeremiah, I have bigger and more pressing battles ahead. Don't give up, Jeremiah. My people do not give up. You will contend with the horses. So here is a call to be sober and to gird up the loins of our minds. God says, the end is that you will contend with the horses. You will walk in the swelling of the Jordan. And I want us to see here that this is a positive way to look at our present battles, whether they are within or whether without. There are greater things that God is calling us to. And we've got to be proven faithful in the small things, brethren, if God is going to call us to bigger things. Now, what can we say about our present battles? Do we realize that the things that we're standing for now, the things that God has called us to, eternity cannot undo? I mean, eternity is a wonderful thing to look forward to, but eternity will not undo the things that we do now for Christ. You know that old saying, there's one life, will soon be passed. It's only what's done for Jesus that will last. The things we do now cannot be undone. The work that we have been called to do, to be faithful to God's word, is so serious that men's eternity rests upon it. The few years that we live now matter for all eternity, friends. As things wax worse, and this world gets harder in its sin, the battle will get harder. But nothing will prevail or thwart the purposes of God that are in Christ Jesus. And friends, let us say this. Let us not be half-hearted in any Christian work. Let us go on to strength and maturity, just as God had called here and is urging Jeremiah to be faithful, not to grow weary. And so, with those two things, let us finally see something else. Not only, in the first place, God's honesty and sincerity, and then lifting Jeremiah to that challenge and saying, Jeremiah, there are greater things that you are going to be called to. You are going to contend with the horses. You are going to walk in the swelling of the Jordan. You will prevail. Now, how do we know that? Is God saying that here? Has God said that here? Well, I tell you what. You turn back to Jeremiah chapter 1 and look at verse 19. And what I want you to see in the final place this evening is God's proof that we can have a deeper trust in Him. And these verses are proof. Jeremiah, you are going to be in this situation. And Jeremiah, you will prevail. Why? Because I said in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 19, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Thank God that He is with His people. Thank God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, God's promise has always been to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I will deliver you because I will be with thee and I will strengthen thee and I will comfort thee. And I hope you see here tonight, verses 5 and 6 are God's invitation to trust Him. As the heat is turned up in the battle, as men mount up on horses, God will deliver Jeremiah. Jeremiah, how is it? Well, I will be with you, Jeremiah. You can trust me. You can come to me, Jeremiah. Why? Because I will give thee victory. Jeremiah, I'm always with you. And Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I will not leave you as orphans. This is why we can be more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. That same God of Jeremiah 1:19 is Jesus Christ. That rider on his thigh, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, wearing many crowns. He is the victor in the battle. Nothing will thwart the plan and the purpose of Almighty God in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah, I will always deliver you. You will contend. It's as simple as that. But Jeremiah, look to me. That's it. Jeremiah, when you're growing weary, and dear Christian, when you're growing weary, and you're confused, and you're battered, and you're bruised, and you're thrown about, look to God. Look to Christ. He will deliver thee. You hear those sirens? Things are not getting any better. Man is not getting any better. Things will wax worse. Jesus said, as iniquity abounds, the love of many, even professing Christians. Remember what we thought this morning? To him thinks he has, be taken away from him. But to whom who has, more shall be given. And all of our strength comes from that gracious God who provides all the weapons we need to fight his battle. It's his battle, not ours. We are his soldiers. Who is sufficient for these things? Nobody. None of us. None of us. We can't cope with self, let alone the sinful world and the apostate church. You might endure and grit your teeth, but you can't live in that sweet way of trust that trusts and honors God and glorifies Him. If you just endure. But friends, we are more than conquerors. We're strengthened in the battle. Why? Because the Lord, our God, is with us. He doesn't say to us, it's going to be tough, just get on with it and goodbye. See you later. But he says, lo, I'm with thee. I'm here to help you. So that we go to him. So that we cleave to him. And so that we trust him for everything. See the old Apostle Paul in that room there in Rome. He knows he's going to his death's end. We read there in Philippians. He knows his time is at hand. That old man now with back scarred from the whip. 5 times nearly did he die. Yet that old man gets up and writes to the Philippian church and says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ. See Stephen. As they're stoning him to death. He says to the Lord, Lord, do not lay this charge against them. Forgive them, Lord. And then, what does he see as he lifts his eyes up to heaven? Who does he see? And it's the only place in the scripture we see it. He sees Christ standing there at the right hand of God. ready, as it were, to receive him. Christ sees him in the battle. Christ sees Stephen facing death. Christ is with him. He's able to endure. Why? Because God was with him, strengthening him. Jesus, receive my spirit into thy hands, Lord Jesus. I'm going to close with the words of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 40, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not be faint. And may God encourage his people and bless them from his holy word. Amen.